Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY24 earnings conference call of Sejal Glass Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Priti Bhardwaj from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the conference call of Sejal Glass Limited. From management side, we have Mr. Amrut Gada, promoter, and Mr. Chandresh Rambhia, CFO. Now I hand over the call to Mr. Amrut Gada. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Q4 and FY24 financial results conference call for Sejal Glass Limited. I am thrilled to share the outstanding performance of our company, which is one of the leading architectural glass manufacturing companies. Prior to initiating our financial analysis, I would like to present a brief yet comprehensive overview of our esteemed company. Sejal Glass Limited, headquartered in Mumbai, Maharashtra, is recognized as one of the leading architectural glass manufacturers, specializing in the value-added glass and related products. We have significantly expanded our reach in the global market since our inception. Known for our commitment to superior quality, we have established ourselves as a premier architectural glass manufacturer, both in domestic and international markets. With a diverse portfolio of high-quality architectural glass, we maintain a strong global presence, servicing clients in numerous countries. We operate a cutting-edge glass processing facility in Silvassa in UAE. Our plant, Silvassa, is having a capacity of 10.68 lakh square meters of architectural glass and currently operating on an average of 67% of its capacity, whereas our UAE plant is having a 28.50 lakh square meters of architectural glass and currently operating on an average of 34% of the capacity. Our product portfolio encompasses a diverse range of architectural glass, which includes tempered glass, laminated glass, insulated glass, ceramic, and decorative glass. Approximately 70% of the company's revenue comes from fabricators and real estate developers, around 15% from OEM applications, including furniture, refrigerators, and others, with the remaining 15% derived from the retail sales through a dealer network. Some of the company's marquee clients include Piramal Group, Lodha Developers, Hiranandani Kalpataru, and Sunteck in the real estate segment, and Nilkamal in the furniture segment. The company is a leading player in the architectural glass segment, holding approximately 20% of the market share. Our manufacturing setup in UAE through our 99.01% subsidiary, Sejal Glass and Glass Manufacturing Products LLC, UAE, underscores our dedication to global expansion and innovation. Looking ahead to the upcoming financial year, we are optimistic about maintaining our leadership position by prioritizing product quality, market expansion, and plant optimization through re-engineering and automation. These strategies ensure sustained growth and competitiveness for Sejal Glass Limited. About the financial highlights, moving on to the financial highlights for this quarter, we are pleased to highlight our sustained growth. In Q4 for 2024, the company demonstrated a strong financial performance. Its consolidated income was 50.22 crore, and EBITDA was 5.85 crore. With an EBITDA margin of 11.64%, we also achieved a consolidated profit before tax of 0.5 crore, a significant improvement from the previous year's loss. For the FY24, our company continued to perform well. Our total income reached 164.73 crore, marking a 253.47% year-over-year growth. The consolidated EBITDA for the year was rupees 21.31 crore, up by 455.71% compared to the previous fiscal year, with an EBITDA margin of 12.94%. Additionally, we achieved a consolidated profit before tax of 3.17 crore, showing a remarkable growth of 398.01% year-over-year. Although the consolidated figures for FY24 are not comparable with FY23 as the investment in the subsidiary was made only on 18th May 2023. Also, the international contributions to the total revenue stands at 63.66, while domestic sales marks up 36.34 of the total consolidated revenue. In summary, the notable revenue growth and expanded margins showcase the company's impressive performance and strategic initiatives. We have extended our reach far beyond India with our products reaching. We have been a beacon of excellence in the architectural glass manufacturing industry, and our commitment to quality has been recognized globally. We stand tall as a premier architectural glass manufacturer, delivering superior quality product and maintaining a formidable presence in both domestic and international market. Our gratitude goes to our dedicated team, suppliers, customers, lenders and shareholders for their unwavering support.
We can consider for the question answer session.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Lalit Agarwal from Krishna Agency. Please go ahead. The participants left the queue. The next question is from the line of Varun Vadia from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, I had a question about the Middle East acquisition. I wanted some light on the margin and, you know, some light on the future growth.
So, your question is the margin?
That's margin and future growth.
Okay. So, Dubai, our capacity right now utilization is at 24%. Last week, okay, we have also started our second tempering line and also lamination started. So this year, more or less, we are going to, you know, have a business of about 75 to 80 million. And market share over there will be around 10% in UAE and certain part.
Sorry, what will be 10%?
10%.
No, what will be 10%?
Market share in UAE.
Market share, okay.
Yeah,
and I had another question. I've seen that you all have 120 crores of debt, and this has increased your working capital. So I want to see when the working capital improves, and the debt will decrease with an increase in cash.
Just a minute.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. What's your question?
Yeah, I saw that you'll have 120 crores of debt and thus increase your working capital days. So I just want to know, like, I just want to see how you can improve that and lead to an increase in cash.
So the working capital
investment. I can't hear you, sorry.
The working capital investment, yeah, will increase further as our business will increase.
Okay.
That will increase our further working capital loans over there in UAE.
Okay, but do you ever see it coming down?
Not for this year, because the business is on a growing stage. So the investment for working capital, but we will improve on the working capital cycle.
Okay. And when do you see it coming down?
It will take another 2 years to come down, or it will be stable on that level.
Okay. And just a repeat on the first question. For the margin also, but I wasn't provided with that.
So margin on the UAE, the business margins at EBITDA level will be around 15 or 16%.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm done.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahil Dasani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Can you speak a little louder, sir?
Yeah, sure. So my first question is, according to your guidance, we are to do 80 crores in India and 220 crores in UAE as of FY 2025 with 15%-16% EBITDA margin. So if you could explain the confidence for the top line, especially since you are guiding to more than double the UAE sales, are we in talks with clients or any LOIs, or are we just confident on the demand as and when we increase our production? Secondly, please break up the margin guidance and how will we increase it by 300-400 BPS from the current 12%? And lastly, what margins are we doing in UAE as of date? That's my first question.
Particularly related to this current year's performance, we have around 60 million order book position at UAE.
Okay.
Okay. And secondly, in India, we have around 30 crores order book position here. And every month, as per the project performance, the customer releases the size of the glass for the manufacturing. And every month, our sales team and marketing team are putting efforts to get the booking done, project closing. So we get the LOI once the order gets confirmations, and then the size followed by the size as per their requirement.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is one part. Secondly, UAE average this year, last year's our performance was around 14%-15% EBITDA. This year, with the value-added product, we are hopeful to increase around 1.5%-2% more EBITDA level.
Okay. That's helpful. And just in continuation of the 40 million order book in UAE, what is the execution period there?
This is the execution period.
Yeah, sorry, you are inaudible.
8-10 months execution period.
Okay. And next, I wanted to understand a bit on the UAE entity, on the entity. So first is, what went wrong for them that we got to buy them at approx 1x price to sales, and what gave you the confidence to turn it around?
Can you repeat the questions?
On the UAE entity, what went wrong for them that we got to buy them at 1x price to sales valuation, and what gave us the confidence to turn around the business?
See, that acquisition happened in May last year, and acquisition happened in May. The wrong went with them. One was the COVID and certain investor they have lined up, but the investment has not come on time, and their account became NPA. And third, there was also certain realignment of this capacity. So there was no proper alignment of the production capacity.
Okay. Okay. Take care. Being the top four in the UAE, according to the last call, who are the other three, and why do we think we can take away the market share from them?
I have not said that we will take over their market share. One, the market is expanding itself, number one. And number two, there is a gap. There is also like four or five big players, and there is also a small-sized player also, which they are not on quality up to the quality mark or this thing. So there is a gap in the market. And secondly, UAE, Dubai is expanding, Sharjah is expanding, Ras Al Khaimah, Marjan area is also expanding, Ajman is also expanding, and nearby country also expanding, Muscat and all. So there is a growth in the market. So that growth, we will have a space in the growth market. And some of the old customers who want to change their supplier, so that will be another thing. And the plant from whom we have taken over, they are there in the last 18 years in the UAE. So they have a good customer relations and they have a good developer relations. So that is helping us to, you know, go in the proper way systematically in the market.
Yeah, so sir, that's what I'm trying to understand. Since we are to grow 100% year on year in UAE in terms of sales, so we must be taking market share from someone. So I wanted to understand who are we taking the share from and so first, what are we doing better?
First of all, that the company which we have taken, they were also 80 to 100 million. So first share is their own share, which, you know, they lost in 2 years. So that share we will, you know, take it. First, so first is going this right now. That is where we have reached, you know, 50 million last year overall.
Okay, got it. And so I understood that we have an order book of 40 million. So if you would explain what's the process of getting selected for an order, and is it like on tendering basis or how does it go exactly?
No, it is not on the, you know, particularly on the tendering basis. There is a, in particularly in UAE, the contract is get awarded to the main contractor on the tender or whatever. There is a process by followed by the developer, and then there is you know, that main contractor divides the contract in different, like, you know, facade and window is given to fabricator, tiling and given to other. So we categorize ourselves in the fabricating or facade industry. So the facade contractor or the fabricator who has taken the order from the developer or the contractor, they give us the order.
Okay.
And there is a, you know, specification on the tender related to the product, related to the quality, and related to the other technical criteria like performance of the glasses, then sunlight, wind pressure, light transmissions. So there is a certain, you know, quality criteria and technical performance criteria.
Got it. And the last thing is the receivables are approximately 40 to 45% of sales as of date. Is this due to restarting a business after a long time and also the new UAE business because of which we have to provide extra credit timelines? How are we thinking on this?
In UAE right now, we are around 35% of our sale is on the LC. And rest other we are getting the PDC. In India, our average realization is around less than 60 days. And there is a regular customer, you know, regular customer, and we have in-house our, you know, defined process to evaluate the customer. But for the new customer, we take the advance, and sometime before delivery we take the money, or sometime we take the PDC or LC. Purely depend on the customer to customer.
So what is the working capital cycle exactly in UAE in terms of days?
So it is around UAE, it is 135 to 40, as we are not, you know, taking under the discount this LC.
Okay, so we expect this number from 40 to 45% to go down next year, right?
We are expecting around 90 days cycle next year. Step by step, 90 to 100 day cycle, reducing the working capital.
Makes sense. Thank you. That's all for me.
Yes. Who is next? Hello.
Yeah, I'm audible.
Yeah, you are audible.
Yes, since the moderator is not there, I would like to ask another question. So previously, there was a JV with CDI International and Sejal Fireban was formed. So what's the update there? Because there was a tech and patent angle to this. So what can you tell about that?
So that our CDI International, that long back, this is a closed, our this joint venture. And now there is no joint venture. It was, you know, fire product. Which has to be traded in India. That's why there was a JV. Now we are doing one of our, you know, our research department is doing some development on producing in-house in UAE. So it is in process.
Got it. Secondly, we did a QIP at 280 when the stock price was much higher during that year. That period, it was approximately 500. So what was the reason to sell it out at a lower rate?
There was no 500 at that time.
No, the QIP that was done at 280.
No, no. See, that 500 was, you know, prior to that approval of NCLT. So that was on the basic price on that time. And then after the order of NCLT, the capital reduction has been happened. And then there was a, you know, fresh issue of the new shares. And after the fresh issue, the price went up to around 300. And I think the QIP was given at a discount of 5 to 10%. No, sorry, OFS. OFS was done at around 5% discount, not much more on that.
Okay, I'll need to check on that.
Yeah.
The last thing is, there are some 7,500 crores of CapEx spend are being done to enhance the glass capacity. So how do you think we can be affected in the next 2 to 3 years in terms of oversupply in the market?
So that expansion is from Saint-Gobain and Guardian and other these players for manufacturing the float glass. So there is a, we have also done one survey recently from PwC. So there is a, you know, gap in between demand. Demand is increasing, so that, you know, expansion, whatever is coming in future, that is aligned with the, you know, growth of the demand.
Got it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Mukesh Bajaj from Smartsun Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah, so sir, firstly, congratulations on a successful financial year and a decent turnaround. My first question was that, is my understanding correct that the average prices of float glass, which surged to unprecedented levels due to imbalances in demand and supply during the COVID period, induced lockdowns and the semiconductor issue, they have now started reverting back to their average levels?
Yeah, right.
That's right. Was this the reason why our margins fell on a Q-on-Q basis, or there has been some element of cost increase as well?
No, see, there is a little bit of 1% or 2%, there is a difference every quarter because of sometime, you know, import material flows. But we have a, you know, material supply tie-up with the Saint-Gobain and Guardian, where always, you know, we get on the reasonable price, and we don't, you know, commit on a large project that the same price privilege. In a, where the big orders are there, we write down in a terms and condition that we have considered, like, you know, in construction, they consider cement and steel price escalation. So above 5% difference, the escalation clause applies to the customers.
Okay, got it. So very helpful. And sir, how do you see the competitive scenario intensifying, given Asahi Glass is itself commissioning a 700 crores worth CapEx for float glass? So you, I think, mentioned about Saint-Gobain, but how do you see this thing playing out? Because
Asahi's prime focus is on automobile.
Automotive, right.
They control above 90% or around 90% market share in automobile.
Right.
So their float glass expansion is particularly for the, you know, their in-house use of the automobile glass manufacturing.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, we keep hearing
Market glass is very less.
Got it, sir. I was confused about this. That is very helpful. And sir, we keep hearing news that Sejal Glass is foraying into defense quality glasses or automotive glasses. So can you briefly share your views on the same, and how are you planning to diversify your revenue base going forward? Because currently,
See, we are working on the product development. So the company which we have, you know, acquired, so they have a this, you know, this product that one is a fireproof and other is a bulletproof. So we are getting again, you know, like, you know, recertifications and test of the product. So once this is approved, then we have a product. So that product will be good for India's defense and also UAE defense. And, you know, domestic police and all that bulletproof glasses. So it will take, I think, one month or one quarter for getting the certifications.
Got it, sir. And sir, how big is that industry as such? Like, and will we require a separate capacity, or we need to incur a newer CapEx to cater to that requirement if
So this year, I don't think there will be any much more CapEx, maybe very little bit to realignment or giving the some, you know, finishing product, small size machines. Other than, there is no bigger CapEx this year. And about the bulletproof market, we are doing the survey that what is the size of the market, and even there is a certain more qualifications requirement has come on the quality and the standard of the bulletproof. So that we are checking. I think within a one quarter's time, we will be ready with the, you know, market demand, our market share, and also with the product.
Got it. So that is very helpful. And sir, there was induction of Mr. Vijay Mamania ji from non-executive, non-independent director to independent director, sorry, to non-independent director. So can you please explain us regarding his induction as an independent director before, when he was already a part of the key management in Aarti Group, and who happens to be our promoter now? And now since he is a non-independent director, so is that an indication that there will be more involvement of Aarti Group in our business, other than the financial aid that they provided in the recent past?
No, no, this is a, you know, change of the status as per his wish, we have changed. And we have one, you know, mechanisms between Aarti Group and us. So monthly the reporting structure and MIS review and all are there. And of course their input always, you know, help us to for the good governance and systematic approach in the market.
Got it, sir. That is very helpful. And sir, given the highly commoditized business nature of our business, and since, as you said before, that the prices of this road glass is correcting significantly in the past few months, so how do we plan on achieving our guided margins of 12% to 14% in the coming years?
There is a, you know, in we have a two or three product categories. One is the commodity, what you rightly told, which is a bread and butter to, you know, for the day-to-day function and day-to-day cash flow and, you know, distributing the fixed cost. Then we have a certain niche product where the margins are reasonably good. And the certain product like, you know, bulletproof, fireproof, and that voice control products. So that is a niche product which yet we are, you know, moving in the market. And in the specification mode in the tenders, you know, high product, high project. So we are, you know, always as a company, we don't want to go, you know, straight away to the commodity product, but yes, 30% to 35% product portfolio of the commodity, 30% to 35% for the medium size margin product, and around 25% for the 25% to 20% for the niche product, where we align our margins.
Got it. And sir, the product that you're talking about, like bulletproof and also, can we produce similar type of product in an existing capacity, or we will require some other type of capacity in future once we get the required approvals for the same?
The same capacity, certain, you know, modifications and certain supporting system equipment is required.
Okay, sir. Got it. So that is very good. I will join back with you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to 2 questions per participant.
And not the repeated question.
Okay. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Rohan Shah from Melkor Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir, for taking my question. I just have one question. Sir, as we see the real estate market booming in the past couple of years, so what do you think would be the growth factor from there for Sejal Glass? Because you are in, you have customers like Lodha and Suntech who have reported great numbers. So how do you see the demand over there?
The demand particularly in real estate in India will be, you know, growing year on year. And with the housing requirement in India, and particularly all metro stations, is a very good demand. And secondly, the, you know, visibility of the demand and the changing scenario of the real estate, that all, you know, big corporates are now in the real estate. It's a Godrej, Tata, Reliance, Adani, even the prestige, one of the premier developer of the South is now in Mumbai, and DLF. So all good, you know, developers are expanding, and they have the visibility of the next 5 years, next 10 years, that particularly mid-segment and upper segment has a different demand. And particularly after COVID and the concept of hygienic living, people are, you know, spending much more on good housing. So that's one part of the growth. And even if you see the national, you know, housing index, there is a huge growth. And in Mumbai, again, the development of SRS schemes, also further development of demand to the, you know, commodity glass product. As one hut of 200 square feet has no window. And when they go in the slum rehabilitation scheme of 300 square feet, there is a 7 window in house. So that is the, you know, growth of the glass.
Okay, sir. That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit from Vijit Global Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity. And first of all, congratulations for a good set of numbers for the financial year 24. My question is, as per SEBI and LODR requirements, minimum public shareholding has to be 25%. Management had mentioned in previous call that remaining 3.96% will be completed in 1 to 2 quarters, and now promoter holding is reduced to 77.45%. So by when can we expect this to come down to 75%?
In 1 or 2 quarters.
Okay. Just a quick suggestion from our end to complete it as soon as possible, and it will help the company, its company's equity shares to come from the B category, IBC category. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well taken point.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shikhar Mundra from WeWork Commercial Limited. Please go ahead.
So I wanted to understand the volume data. How much you have done in Dubai and how much you have done in India?
64% is in Dubai and 63.66 in UAE and 36.34 in India.
Can you tell me volume?
Sorry? By amount?
In terms of metric ton volume, unit volume.
It's a square meter actually, not a volume.
Yeah, square meter. Yeah, sorry. So square meter, what's the...
I think this is not the data, but I will provide you the square meter of India and the square meter of UAE.
Okay, and you said the capacity utilization in UAE was 24%. What is the same for India?
Oh, India, we are utilizing around 67-68%.
And around 20%, is that right?
Sorry?
And how much in Dubai?
20. Dubai, we are utilizing 34%, but now, because we have, you know, reshuffled and re-engineering all the machines, now one by one all machines are going. So this quarter and second quarter, there will be above 50% capacity utilization.
Okay. And sir, and what is the expected capex for this year? The incremental capex?
Negligible, not much. Maybe maximum 4 to 5 crore.
Okay. And what would you say is like the revenue potential on these existing capacities?
India is around 90 to 100 crore.
Okay.
And Dubai is around 80 to 90 million.
Okay. This is 90 million dirhams.
Yeah, 90 million. AED. 90 million dirham.
Okay. Good. And how do you define like value added, like in it?
So the margin difference. Breaking.
Can you just repeat your question?
How do you exactly define value added in this? It's like what kind of margin difference is there between value added and normal, and what percent of your capacity is like
value added? Have a, you know, around 5 to 15% sale price different, where there is a little bit of technical specifications are involved. For example, there is a project or there is a residence building nearby the railway station, and there is a sound of the railway. So we have a product that we can give that product, so the sound will be around 80 dB inside the room.
Okay.
This kind of product have a different combinations, different recipe to manufacture, and that we give the solution.
Okay. Right. And how much percent of your capacity right now is value added?
Is around 10 to 15%, but it will increase to 20-25%.
Okay. I'll join the queue back for further questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Jain from Green Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just wanted to have a follow-up question based on the last conference call. In the last conference call, sir, you have mentioned that you are submitting samples to one or two bus coach manufacturers. And also you mentioned that you are working with Indian Railways. So just wanted to understand what is the development since last conference call on these two fronts.
That sampling process is on yet. We have not received the approval. And we have got also, you know, from the railway that they don't want only glass. They want with the aluminium frame and window, full window. So we are, you know, making one sample and then we will submit again.
And sir, what is the approval and ordering process in Indian Railways? Just wanted to understand how much time will it take till we get a successful order from the Indian Railways?
It will take yet 2 months.
Got it, sir. And sir, while you were answering on the bulletproof
one change that traditionally AC coach has a certain requirement and Vande Bharat has a certain requirement. So now we are also working on Vande Bharat and for Kapartula and Raebareli, both.
Okay. Okay. So, sir, you are working on Vande Bharat. Does this mean that government has asked you to work on Vande Bharat or are you doing it on your own and then you will submit the sample? How does it work, sir?
We are submitting the sample, but definitely government is looking for a new vendors.
Got it, sir. And, sir, in response to the bulletproof glass point, you mentioned that I missed that point. Your voice was breaking there. So, how much time would it take till you get an approval for the bulletproof glass in UAE?
I think 1 quarter or 4 months around.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, I will not take much time. Last question from my side. Sir, make us understand as to, you know, while we are working at 34% capacity utilization in UAE, we are doing an expansion there. And in India, we are at 67-70%, but there is no expansion in India. What is the thought process, number one? Number two, relating point is, when we will be doing 75 to 80 million dirham in UAE, what would be the capacity utilization considering the new tempering and lamination line?
At 80 million or 90 million, 75 to 90 million, we will be at around 80-85% of the capacity utilization. And secondly, India this year also, India we will cross 80-85%.
And sir, why no expansion in India despite higher capacity utilization and why an expansion in UAE?
This UAE expansion is over. That is acquired last year, beginning of the year. But the whole exercise went before that 1 year. And parallelly, we are also looking for, you know, opportunities, acquisition opportunity or certain tie-up opportunity in India. And we are working on that. Maybe within, you know, 1 or 2 quarters, there will be a good news in the market.
So can it be assumed, sir, that you are in discussion with something?
Yeah. We are in discussion with some
potential buyer.
So some expansion.
Okay.
It's on you know, mid stage, not early stage, also not on matured stage. But within 1 or 2 months, it will be more clear.
Got it, sir. Got it. And final quick question, sir, on India side, is there any brownfield or greenfield expansion as well besides this or inorganic expansion that you are talking about?
See, we are also, you know, working on solar requirement as this capacity is also increasing solar glass, green energy glass. And we recently, you know, did a survey of the market that solar demand, solar glass demand, then architectural glass demand and automobile demand. So right now we are totally focused on architectural, but at the same time, we are also working on the solar market. If everything works, then we will, you know, management will think on investing in solar.
Right, sir. Thank you, sir. I will be on the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your questions to 2 questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Raj Vaswani from InvestTV Portfolio Management. Please go ahead.
Okay.
Hi, thanks for giving us the chance to take our queries. We see good returns on good performance year on year. Our query was that while year on year there's been significant growth, Q on Q was quite flattish. And especially if we are looking at such phenomenal growth in Dubai, where we expect the market to, you know, grow significantly, then last quarter was kind of slightly disappointing in that sense. So as in, I couldn't get why this was coming up.
So you are talking of the last quarter?
Yes, QOQ.
Concerns, it is not concern, but certain, you know, the sizes from the order which we have has not come on time, and certain around material has been not, customer has not taken the dispatch. So because of that, around, you know, 5 to 7% of top line has been impacted.
Is that a permanent impact on top line, or is it like a temporary, is it something which got shifted from December to January?
Yeah, it happens like that, but sometime, you know, on the last...
March over April, so there are two things. Sometimes, you know, there is some delay in acceptance and the order gets pushed to April instead of getting booked in March.
And secondly, sometimes because of the project delay from the developer size, we don't receive the size for the manufacturer. So that has carry forward on April, but it is a quarter, like, you know, 1 month or 2 months delay.
No, but what I'm saying is the delay, so what was lost in the March quarter, is that going to come back in April?
First quarter.
April, so that will be made up and you will continue with your regular growth? Because before that, see, if we look at the growth, March over June, there was like almost 150% growth. And then the growth was close to
150% growth, because from that month, UAE operation has started consolidating.
Yeah, agreed. So that's okay. That I understand. Then June over September, there was about a 40% growth, which is pretty good.
And Q4 has a 10% growth, like 50 crore.
So 40 went to 48, which was 20, and this quarter was about 2. Now, if we were look, even if I say that 7-8% of the revenues were actually lost and they would have come in, that would still have meant that you would have grown about another, say, 3-3.5, which would have meant a 12-13% growth.
54, so, they have ended at 54 quarter.
Yeah, so 54 would have meant about 15% growth. This would have been slower than 20.
The
growth slowing down, considering that you have such a large capacity which is there, which you've built up. Now, if the growth on month is, or quarter on quarter is slowing down, is that an indication that going forward, you know, like, as in, how do you see the growth again growing to like 50 to 100% from here again?
See, every quarter, like, you know, for example, first quarter, second quarter, we have the certain projections based on the pipeline of the order and certain capacity utilization. For example, this May, we have started the lamination line, so impact will definitely come in the sale. So maybe, like UAE itself will give us around, 40 to 42 crore. So, and plus India operation will give around 18 to 20 crore. So maybe this quarter first, we will cross 60 crore.
Okay, so again, if we are saying that 7-8% out of that, was last quarter's thing. So going forward, we are looking at something like a 10 to 15% QoQ growth.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, 15%.
So which means
growth. And secondly, you know what
happened?
Our 90% or 95% products are tailor-made. Once we receive the, you know, specification, then we manufacture. So we don't have, you know, standard product where we can put and keep in stock, and you know, on last month of the quarter, we can, you know, tell our dealer that aapko to lena hi padega. So here there is a fundamental of our, you know, business model, that whatever, you know, there is no much ready stock. It's, you know, everyday material manufacture, everyday dispatch, everyday material manufacture, everyday dispatch.
Okay, but you think for the next year or so, you would be able to track about 15% QoQ kind of growth?
Mostly.
Yeah, and most of this is coming out of Dubai, you're saying?
No, both India and UAE both.
Okay, thank you.
India, you know, first quarter always, you know, June, you know, this monsoon season. So there is a first season, there is a little bit of pressure. And then second is a seasonal, like, you know, all Navratra and all more project launching, more furniture work. So Q2 and Q3 always good.
So Q2 and Q3 are better than Q1?
Yeah, yeah, always.
Okay, but in this case, you are saying since you'll get 7-8% of last quarter's demand into Q1, so you would still hit 60 in Q1?
Yeah, yeah, mostly.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipanshu Suman from Satva Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the performance. I just wanted to understand from you, what is the total borrowings on the book and how much is working capital and how much is term loan out of it?
I will give to Mr. Chandra, CFO.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. So total borrowing on a consolidated basis is around 140 crore.
Okay.
Out of that, the working capital is my around 15 crore. Rest is in my in the form of promoter holding or promoter group companies borrowing and the bank borrowing.
So what are the repayment schedule for the bank borrowing?
Bank borrowings are all our 5 years term loan plan.
Okay, and so about 125 crore is say bank borrowing plus promoter, which are say scheduled on a 5 year plan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So any plans to bring down the debt on a gradual basis, or are you of the kind of mindset that over a period of 5 years itself it will go down, or is there any chances that we look to say offset this entire debt over a 3 year kind of period?
So see, bank borrowing will go on a repayment through its installments as per the schedule. Only thing, that promoter funding, which has been infused as an loan, which we can call it as an quasi equity also. So that we can convert it into an equity, but not at this stage, maybe in a couple of years.
Understood, sir. So what is the India steady state margin, what you guys, because the India margins have been quite volatile because of different kinds of, say, reasons what other participants have also alluded to. So what is the India steady state margin, what we should be looking at?
EBITDA margin?
Yeah, EBITDA margin.
EBITDA margin around 12 to 13%.
So because almost, last 3-4 quarters, we have been in the range of 7 to 9-10% kind of.
Correct. So this year we had closed around 12% EBITDA margin in India. So okay. Definitely that will improve by 2 to 3% further in this year, as the utilization will increase, fixed cost will remain same, so EBITDA margin will be improved.
Okay. So in terms of going back to the capital structure of the company, so instead of promoters selling the stake in the market, can't the board think about any proposal to raise funds in the company so that the company is better capitalized? Because again, by the end of this particular year, if everything goes well, you guys would be say sitting at 80-85% kind of capacity utilization at both the locations. So again, instead of it selling in the market by promoters, can't it be done through some say, qualified institutional placement or anything other, any other mechanism?
We can think about it. So right now, whatever the promoters are selling is just to bring that the holding at 25% of the public as per the required norms of LODR. So post that, we can think about any QIP or anything for the replacing this the promoter loan or something like that, or for the expansions what we plan in India.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I will come back in with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lalit Agarwal from Krishna Agencies. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Sir, as you said, the capacity utilization after this 24-25 will be around 80-85%.
Correct.
So, what will be the top line you are estimating for this year, 24-25?
It will be around 275-280.
And what will be the EBITDA margin on a total?
Average is 16%.
Average will be 16%. Okay. Okay, that's all. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The next question is from the line of VN from Shanti Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes.
Go ahead. Thank you. So the question I have is with respect to the extraordinary performance which happened in Sijal. This was around a year back. I wanted to understand what could be the reason for such a massive performance, and also you know, and thereby and but it was actually a one-off kind of a thing. So if you can kindly shed light on that.
Performance growth you are talking about?
Yeah, this
from the
was,
last year.
March 22, when you had this massive 147 crore PAT, and
yes.
While your top line was just 24 crores, but your PAT was 147 crores. So
no, PAT March 22 was an exceptional profit because of the effect of the NCLT order has been given into that financial year. So there were certain liabilities in the books which were written off. Return back based on the NCLT order as per the resolution plan. So that was an exceptional profit, not from the operational profit.
Okay, but that did have an impact on the performance of your stock also, if I can, I mean the valuation of the company, I think, right?
No, because we had given a quite a good number of disclosures in our financials, notes to accounts.
No, no, I'm not faulting the management for how I just wanted to understand, you know, this you said extraordinary performance due to some NCLT observations.
Correct.
And thereby the, you know, the market also kind of recognized it. So I'm just trying to understand the context and the background. I'm not trying to in any way find any fault here, but I'm just trying to understand the background.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, that there was no such thing which can happen. I mean, when the disclosures are properly given, that this was an exceptional one-time transaction effect in the financials, and it is not to be considered the performance of the company on the operational side. This is very clearly mentioned in our notes also. The breakup was also given that this is because of extinguishments of some of the liabilities of the company due to resolution plan which was approved in the NCLT.
Okay, and subsequently the company has been on a profitable trajectory. While prior to that, it was struggling for profitability. If you can also shed light on that.
So, of course, the last 2 years, the company has performed well. The growth is also seen from the financials on the sales side and the on the EBITDA and the margin side. So then after the expansion was also done in the company, the acquisition of a UAE plant. So definitely the growth is there. So, and in near future also, we are targeting the same growth story.
And if you can just give some trajectory of what kind of growth you can we can look forward to in the next 1 or 2 years?
That's what we had mentioned in our call, that next year we are targeting around 275 to 280 crores of turnover with an EBITDA of 16%.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anurag Jain from Almaria. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much. So congratulations on reporting the good number of good numbers on the sales side.
Yeah.
So my only question is on the interest component and the tax part. So what we are planning for the given the market situation, we have a rate cut going forward. Are we planning to have like something rate cut on our loan partners also from the promoter or the bank side? And average is the tax?
Yeah, so average borrowing cost is less than 10% as of today. So the only the borrowing is mainly from the promoter group company. So that was also for the acquisition of our UAE. And in near future, we may replace this promoter funding through an either equity mode or any long-term.
So when we are planning this?
It might take like 1 or 2 years.
Given that 1 or 2 years or like? Or
at least down the line 2 years.
2 years. Okay. And the second question on the tax. So how much is the deferred tax amount is available as of now?
We have deferred tax asset of around 9.03 crore, which we had recognized last year based on our carry forward losses, which are of unabsorbed depreciation, which are perpetual in nature. So on that, we had considered certain projections, and that is also on a conservative basis, and analyzed properly, and then the accounting was done for a deferred tax asset.
Okay. All right. Done from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranay Jain from Deep Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to understand what is the kind of investments we have planned in infrastructure, technology for increasing the value addition of products over the next couple of years?
Not very much as of now. So right now we are doing research on a couple of products as we mentioned in the call. First, our products should be get recognized the same capacity with some attachments to be required. So there is no much huge capacity or the expansions required in this thing.
So whatever innovations we are doing for high-speed rail, bulletproof, all of that technology investments have already been done. We will not require further material investment for that, you're saying?
Not much, that's what I'm saying. That the only the attachments, certain attachments or the additional equipments which are not costing more than 5 to 7 crores.
Okay. And as a result of whatever capacities that we have, that we choose to sweat out over the next couple of years, then what is the potential revenue we can look at? Because I'm like you said, we are definitely going to enhance our value addition mix, and the margins are moving up. So then, for both from 275 crore potential revenue in FY25, what could it be a year further down the line? And will margins be more or less around 16%? We are kind of satisfied, or we see room for further moving up to high teens?
So on a full-fledged capacity, the turnover will be around 350 crore. So, and the margins will be at the same level or maybe 18% somewhere. So we can improve by around 200 basis points in the EBITDA margins once my capacity utilization will increase.
Got it. And any indication you can give on the value-added mix contribution to the revenue from this year? What is it likely to move up next year?
Next year will be value-added products will be around 25%. Rest will be, as we discussed, that basic product will be there. of 35% to 40%, and mid-size product will be around 30%.
We are not accounting for solar glass yet in these estimates.
Oh, no, we are not.
Only on architectural side and existing for rail that we are looking at. Got it. And lastly, on the bottom line, any possible guidance on the PAT margins we could see, if not next year, then the year after? Is there something we are aiming?
We are aiming around 7% to 8% PAT margin.
And who are we keenly competing against in our existing categories? Like, who do we benchmark ourselves against and likely to try and pull market share from? That's my last question.
The competitors in India?
Correct. And also in the Gulf.
Just a minute. Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
For our products, I was asking, who are we benchmarking ourselves against and aiming to pull market share from?
Actually not, it's a market share pull. First of all, there is a growing demand, so our placement will be with the growing demand and little bit of the market share. The major competitor in UAE is a white aluminium and Gulf Glass and Emirates Glass.
Got it. And in India?
India, we have here FISPA Glass, FG Glass, Glasstec, then Fuso, and Sapphire. And little bit of Sky Glass also.
Well, thank you so much. Any progress we see on the automotive side?
Not yet. We are preparing ourselves yet.
Okay. So maybe after 6 months or so, you would be able to share something, or it will take a little longer?
2 quarters we will be able to share something.
All right. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jignesh from Jiva Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking the question.
Ending?
Hello.
Sorry, yeah. Not audible, sir.
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sir, I wanted to understand, you told that you have done some survey to understand the market. So the survey is more into solar glass or for infrastructure, or only in your current sector?
So the survey is for the float glass, solar glass, and our current architectural glass.
Okay, because in solar, if I recollect, Borosil is facing very tough competition from China because
yes.
of some duties. So are you thinking on that term, that the duties?
We have just done the survey and yet we have not made up our mind for the solar. So I think the question will be not relevant as on today for the solar particularly.
Okay. And you also mentioned that you are in discussion with some partnership in India with few prospective people. So would that be for float glass only?
No, for the architecture. Right now our whatever expansion this current year or any acquisition is only for the architecture. No solar, no float.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. If that was the last question for the day, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Preeti Bhardwaj for closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the conference call of Sejal Glass Limited. If you have any queries, you can write us at research@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you, everyone, for joining the conference call. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.